Hey everyone, thanks for joining us for another episode of Third Shot Podcast. We love all the support on social media, so if you aren't already following us, check us out on Instagram, Facebook at Third Shot Podcast. We're also on X at Third Shot Pod, or you can watch us on YouTube at Third Shot Podcast. And today, you know, I've got a shot of immunity juice because I am just a little bit of the weather. But I think Uncle Greg's got something a little bit stronger for all of us.
I do. I have, well, I might as well just show the bottle because,
there you go. Nice.
What is it? It looks very special.
It is Woodford Reserve. Mm. We're doing a celebration shot tonight. So,
yes.
All right.
Cheers.
And what are we celebrating?
Well, victory! I played in a local doubles tournament over the weekend, and my partner Ron and I won gold. We prevailed.
You crushed it, I heard.
You know what? It was really cool because I love playing with Ron. He plays at the Pickleballers Club up in Canyon Lakes with me. But usually we're playing against each other. And he is so difficult as an opponent. Like, he's always just – he gets to everything. Like, he gets to every ball. I don't care what angle you hit it at or short or long, he gets to every ball. And I was like, you know what? That's what I need. I need somebody to go track everything down. So I asked them to play. And in fact, it was a little bit unsure whether he was going to be available or not because Bridgie, his son, actually lives in Las Vegas and worked there. And he thought he was going to go have to visit his son. Ron actually grew up in Las Vegas.
What the heck?
Yeah, he grew up in Las Vegas, and he was kind of telling me stories about what it was like growing up in Vegas and stuff, and I'm like, that sounds pretty fun. But luckily, he was able to play, and we signed up, and we didn't really have a lot of time to practice together, but, you know, thank you to a lot of our members up at the Pickleballers Club who got us ready. They were saying, okay, Ron and Greg are partnering up. You know, we'll play against you and get you prepared. And they did. And we were ready to go. And it worked out. We made it.
So how many matches did you guys end up playing?
That's a good question. So there were 11 teams. It was double elimination.
Oh, wow.
And when you're in the winner's bracket, it's best out of three. So I don't even know, but my body tells me it was 100.
It was a lot.
It was a lot. I do know we were out there for 6 hours.
Wow. Yeah, that's a long day.
We were out there for 6 hours. And it was kind of ironic because the team that we faced in the gold medal match was the only team that we lost to during the qualifying rounds. And it was somebody that we played, or I played against in the Rudgear courts, where you've been to, Bridgie, right? You've been to the Rudgear courts in Walnut Creek.
Yeah.
A lot of good play out there. And we kind of joked about it because we knew that they were in the same division as us. And we go, okay, well, we can't eliminate each other, but let's meet each other in the finals. And we were kind of joking about it. And sure enough, we met in the finals, so that was kind of cool. And Carlos and Rosanto, tough competition, really good players, and they got the silver medal, so congratulations to both of them.
Good for them. Yeah.
So
now are you and Ron going to be partners for other tournaments? Did that partnership go well?
Well, here's what's cool, Bridgie. He visits Vegas all the time.
Oh my gosh.
So if there's ever tournaments in Las Vegas where you and I can play mixed doubles together, he'll come down and we'll play men's doubles. Now I got somebody to play with also. Heck, I asked him, I go, are you willing to travel to play tournaments? Right. And he goes, oh yeah. Like, you tell me when there's a tournament down in Vegas. Let's go. Nice.
So now it's going to be the Uncle Greg and Ron duo.
Yeah. And then Uncle Greg and Bridgie. And we got, mixed doubles, men's doubles. We're ready to roll, baby.
Very cool.
So it nice. was a fun weekend. I definitely feel it.
I bet. That's why you're having the extra shots tonight.
That's, between work today, which was it felt like a marathon. It felt like 6 hours of playing pickleball, but not as fun, right? My body took the toll. My mind took the toll. Right. But it was so much fun. And Ron's such a great guy. Just like you, Bridgie, always keeps me real positive and it's fun and I'm smiling and we're laughing. So it was a really good partnership. I'm glad we got to play. And that was his first tournament he's ever played. That's his first pickleball tournament ever. So he was kind of nervous. He told me. I was nervous. I go, it's cool. Don't worry about it. Yeah, I understand. That's nice. But he performed. He was great.
Did you, to convince him to play with you, did you just show him your closet full of medals?
He had him hanging on his arm. Full of medals,
but. Well, I actually opened up the trench coat and had all of them inside the flap of the trench coat. Like, hey, look what you can win if you come play with me, right? That'd be kind of weird.
So that would be. Well, it's just weird now that you're wearing clothes, but
that would have probably gone the wrong direction. Ron. So the funny thing, this is weird stories, but I played doubles with a few different players, right? Bridgie, obviously you and I played doubles together, and I played mixed doubles the day before with another Bridgie.
Oh my gosh. I've been replaced. I'm just kidding.
No, you haven't been replaced. But when up here in Northern California, when I need somebody and you can't make it up, I got another Bridgie.
That is awesome.
I also played doubles with a Joy, which is my wife's name.
Yes.
Right. I've played men's doubles with a Greg. Me, right? And then now Ron, who, I don't know if I should be sharing this or not, but everybody knows that I played doubles with Diego recently. Well, his real name is Ron.
Oh, what the heck?
Isn't that weird? Like all my doubles partners have some type of
like a duplicate someplace.
Yeah. 20 somewhere.
Right.
So I think these are gonna be my partners for life now because I don't know there's nobody else to match with unless I find another Russ to play with.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Then you don't have to memorize that many names.
Yeah. Well, that's the senior mentality. If I don't have to remember people's names, it just comes out. That'll help me. Like Greg's the toughest one for me to remember because I'm like, who am I? Who am I playing with? But pickle or die, Greg. I am always there for you as well. So let's go. Let's roll, baby.
Go.
All right.
Speaking of let's roll.
Let's roll.
Yeah,
yes, absolutely.
We have a good one today.
Yeah. We have a good one. Before we get to that, I want to really thank all of our new followers and subscribers to the show. They have been fantastic on our social media and our podcast platforms, whether it's Instagram or Facebook, YouTube, Third Shot Podcast. We're on X is Third Shot Pod. Our website, which is thirdshotpodcast.com, and then we're on all the podcast platforms, whether it's Spotify, Apple, you name it, we're there. Just look up Third Shot Podcast. And we are so excited to be joined by Andy Titchener, who is a pro pickleball player and pickleball instructor. Welcome, Andy.
What a welcome. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Of course. We cannot wait.
Andy is our pro pickleball player and instructor. Cheers, Annie.
Cheers. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on.
My pleasure. It was fun to listen to your interview with Jenna.
Yes.
What, about a week ago, a week and a half ago? That was a great interview.
Thanks. She's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, she is an amazing player, amazing person. And you two have been partners, but we're going to get into that a little bit later. Okay. We want to start off by getting into your background, because a lot of the athletes that we've talked to have had some sort of athletic or sport background, but yours is a little bit more unique than the ones that we've heard so far. So if you could share with our listeners, how did you get started in pickleball and what were you doing before?
Well, I was raised by athletes. My parents were competitive skiers. And when I was born, they were still in the ski industry. And so I was born into a family that was athletic every day, year round. They even ran ski racing camps in the summer in Mount Wow. Hood. They went to the snow, which meant, as a small child, I lived in Mount Hood in the summers for the first 5 years of my life. And I remember working out with all the campers that had flown into Mount Hood from around the world to learn to ski race from my parents. And we would do like cross training and sit-ups and sprints and squats. And I think I even remember doing some box jumps. I mean, my body was tiny. How did I get up there? But the point is, I was around it and I thought it was normal. Like when I look back into the memory of what that felt like, I think that I kind of assumed everyone was like that type of thing. So I did a lot of sports, skiing, of course. I did ballet, swimming, gymnastics, and tennis. And I could tell, it was very clear to me that my dad liked me playing tennis.
Really?
Yes. And I liked that. I don't mean it as a bad thing. It felt good. We liked playing tennis together. And I could just tell amongst all the sports that I competed in that he hoped I would choose tennis. And at 9 years old, it was pretty clear to me that I needed to choose one sport. And it was also clear that I needed to get a full ride scholarship. I remember feeling that at a
really?
Very
young
age.
At 9 years old, you felt that already?
Yes.
Okay.
I can't remember the exact content of the conversations that led me to understand that that was the truth, but I knew it. And I'd already started planning for it. And I took it very seriously. And it was at once anxiety provoking, but it was also, I think, infused me with some confidence as a young girl that I was taken seriously by the adults in my life and that I was expected to do something big.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you must have been an extremely good player at a young age because you did get to play at St. Mary's, which was one of the colleges in, you know, kind of my neck of the woods here in Northern California. I very seriously considered going to St. Mary's myself, and you had a fantastic career there in tennis. And then, you know, in your social media posts, I see this incredible picture of you as a bodybuilder.
Yes.
When did that happen?
Yes, that happened soon after my daughter was born. My daughter's 10 years old. I started to get very serious about lifting weights. I actually had, to be frank, a lot of back pain at the time. And I found that lifting weights and strengthening my core and strengthening the connection between the different elements of my body while using my diaphragm really helped my back pain. And so I started lifting weights very seriously, like with a lot of focus and intention. And at the same time, my brother, who is a strength coach, started his own business training online. And so I want to be your first client. So I started taking his direction and doing exactly what he said. And then I started thinking, now I can ask him for what I want. So I told him, I want XYZ in my performance. I want XYZ in my aesthetic for my physique. And if I did what he said, it would deliver. And so I started getting really excited. And I found that I could compete at a certain point. And people started asking, are you training to compete? And so I thought, why not? You know? And so for about 5 years, I competed in 7 bodybuilding competitions as a natural bodybuilder.
Wow.
Which is a little different than pickleball. 7, actually, when I remember that I did 7, it feels overwhelming. It's like a lot. That sounds terrifying to me now. It takes so long to prep for.
Yeah, I have to give you props because, you know, I understand like how much time and dedication goes into preparing for a bodybuilding competition. I've had friends do it and just watching them go through it, it is such a process. And I think amazing. Yes.
Yeah. It's interesting how difficult it is. And then it's interesting to find how the difficulty opens avenues to joy. And the discipline opens a sensation of freedom. So that's why I did so many. Because I started to really enjoy it.
Yeah.
And I felt, when I look back on that time, I felt like this monkey-like strength. Like I was really tiny, you know, but I was strong. And I would look at buildings and just think, I think I want to climb that. And I don't feel anything like that anymore. So I miss that feeling.
Well, how did pickleball enter your life, and how did you transition from that part of your life to your pickleball life and your pickleball career?
A friend from high school, she was actually a high school tennis rival. I was visiting in Encinitas, California, and she said, I've got to teach you pickleball. You're going to love it. And I thought when she described it, I pictured like ping pong. Or maybe what's that sport where you throw the sandbags?
Oh, cornhole.
Like cornhole.
Yeah, like cornhole.
Yeah.
I wore a sundress. She remembers me being barefoot, I think. I didn't realize what we were doing. And then once I realized what it was, I told her, I don't need dinner. I don't want to sleep. I just want to stay here. Let's just do this only. I don't need anything else in my life. It was just immediately addictive, of course, as it is to so many who spend, if you spend more than an hour and a half on a pickleball court, I think you're addicted.
Yeah, I would agree with that for sure.
You would too?
Yes, definitely. So has there been anything that you've been able to take or kind of translate from that bodybuilding experience that you had into how you started training for pickleball?
Yes, definitely. I think what I'd like to use more from bodybuilding than I actually do now, it's a goal of mine in the next year, is discipline. I'd like to approach my training with a more disciplined regimen. And what I mean by that is actually maybe a bit surprising. I go after pickleball full force, and I'm really aggressive and enthusiastic and energetic. And in fact, I think it would be better for me if I pull the reins in a little bit at this point in my trajectory. And I need discipline to do that. It's when I really address what it's going to take for me to pull the reins in on this horse that I feel inside me. It's like, it feels very difficult.
Really?
And so I think I need to tap into what I learned from bodybuilding to do that. A little more calm, a little more of a meditative approach, a little more repetition, and holding back on what my instinct would be in my aggression in order to develop a different side of my game.
Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. Because you mentioned Jenna earlier, and we, you know, you are her doubles partner. You've played doubles together for how many events now?
Vegas, Punta Gorda. I think four.
Four different events.
We've done four. Or maybe the US Open is our fourth. Either, yeah, three or four. And then we're headed to the US Open.
And Jenna's a big CrossFitter, right? I mean, she's working out all the time as well. And I think maybe is the mentality of her, you know, really committing to CrossFit, you with your bodybuilding background, does that help you guys connect as a partnership in doubles?
I definitely think so. I think even when I met her, we met as opponents.
Oh.
There was an immediate respect and kinship that it feels like I know what you do to look like that, you know?
Yeah.
And I know how hard it is, and I respect you so much, you know, that feeling. That definitely connects us. I think that feeling like also we imagining how we appear to opponents and appear at tournaments because of the way we stand, the way we hold ourselves, and the way we move because of our athleticism and the way we balance. It feels good. It feels like we're in sync in that way, you know? And I know how fast she is, and I know what that means. And yeah. So, for instance, when we get a drop shot and she says, "I'm there," I'm so confident. I know she's there, you know, and I know why she is. It's not that I just know she's there. I know why she'll be there. And it feels like more texture, I think, to a partnership. Yeah.
Well, I do have to agree. When I was looking at your photos on Instagram, immediately in my mind, I was like, wow, you know, if these two walked up and those were my opponents, I would be terrified. Like your muscles and your arms, your legs are like popping out. Oh, it's so impressive.
What's funny is how kind we each are.
Right.
So there's this funny juxtaposition. Jenna's might be one of the most kind people I've met on the Pro Pickleball Tour. She's like a good person. But it's so true. There's this juxtaposition of this intensity in her form that can't be denied. Yeah.
Well, plus when you guys are on the court and you're playing, there's a fire that comes out in both of you. So it's not like, you know, you're nice and kind. You are. But there's also a real drive to succeed and to win. And I think that comes out. Plus the physique. It was interesting when we talked before starting recording that when you played against her, you realized there were certain things about her game that would really complement your game. And I thought it'd be interesting for you to kind of share that and help other people figure out, like, how do you pick a doubles partner? Because everybody kind of, I just did a tournament and, you know, we did really well in men's doubles. But I found that I wanted to play with Ron, who was my partner, because I just find a joy in playing with him. It's just so much fun that we have together that I love. And it just makes me want to perform for him. But, you know, there's things to look for in styles, in personalities. Like, what advice would you provide in people trying to pick a good doubles partner? And how did you pick Jenna?
Well, I'd like to say that I'm really strategic about how I choose, but the truth is Jenna's the strategist between the two of us. But there are technical elements to the way that I thought it through, because I like to play on the right. My backhand is a weapon, and I like for that to be in the middle. And the first time I encountered Jenna, we were playing mixed pro against each other, and she was playing with a lefty man. So she was actually positioned across from me on the left-hand side, which is unique. You don't find that unless there's a lefty man in mixed doubles. And so I got to see her across from me and feel my discomfort of her on the left-hand side. And so I thought, as a female player who likes to play on the right-hand side, I want for my opponent to feel that from the left-sided player. So, I got attacked a lot in that game, and I loved that. I loved feeling that attack from her, and she was really successful at it. And I knew that if she attacked, I would love to counter. So those are just a few elements of strategically how I choose. In addition to that, I like someone who can be aggressive, but can change it up when they need to. And so I like to play with someone who's mature and intelligent and strategic. I like to focus on the way that it feels to be in a winning state of mind. And Jenna likes to focus on the strategy, on where we're going to place the ball, on what patterns she's already recognized. And so we're good counterparts because I am pulling us back into the feeling of being warriors, and she's pulling us into the technical elements of what we need to execute in order to win. So beyond the technical parts, I would say the biggest part to me is actually what you mentioned, Uncle Greg, which is temperament. Mm. It sounds like you chose your partner based on how it feels to play with him.
Yeah.
I think that's the most important part.
It's supportive, and we're just backing each other 100%. That's just so good for me. Like, that's what I respond. That's why Bridgie and I play so well together, because we're always just really supportive of each other. And like, we're never, you know, I see a lot of doubles teams that get mad at each other, like on the court. And I just think that that's not healthy for the team. Obviously, you know, I've seen them successful sometimes. I just don't think it's healthy. And that's not an environment that I want to put myself in when I play doubles.
I agree with that. I think that's a deal breaker for me. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's good to know yourself and know how you can elicit the best performance from yourself. And you're right. Maybe there are some who can do that if they're feeling badgered or under intense pressure. But it's one thing to be able to do that, and it's another thing to enjoy the process. I don't know. Yeah. It's important to enjoy it, I think.
Well, it sounds like you found a very great partner who complements your style very well. And she's out there kicking butt with you, which we love to see.
Yeah, we're friends. So it feels good to support each other no matter what. I watched her play singles in Miami.
Yeah, she made it to the finals. She made it to the finals against Megan Fudge. Wow.
She played so hard and so well. I told her, I think this should be a prerequisite to partnering. I needed to see this in person because now I know, like, I needed to know what that looks like and what you do. That's incredible. Yeah. So I'm not going to miss that again.
Yeah. I mean, she's... You know, just watching her play, you know, you gain a lot of knowledge, right? I watched her as well. And you know, I watch a lot of different players, and I try to pick up different things. And one of the things I picked up fairly recently, I saw an interview with Ben Johns, and they asked him, like, what does he think about during a match to kind of, you know, help him? And he really said, focus. Like, I just got to refocus. I got to keep staying focused. When he feels a slipping, he just tells himself, focus, focus, focus. And again, I just played a tournament, and that was running through my head as I was playing in a match, and we lose a couple of points or here or there. And I go, okay, Greg, Uncle Greg, come on, focus, right? I got to get back in this, right? And I'm just curious for you, like, what are the things that run through your head to adjust when things, you know, maybe you lose a few points, they're going to run, maybe you're in a timeout, you're talking to Jenna, like, what goes through your head? What's the thought process to, you know, get it back on the right track again?
It's interesting you ask that because my daughter, I was talking to her about the fact that I was doing this podcast with you. And she said, you should tell them about your mantra, mommy. And so now I'm going to get to tell her that I told you.
All right.
And she said it. She said, tell them I am loved. I am prepared. I am supported. I wish you could hear her say it. It's way better than when I say it. So I do mantra. And the reason that I do it, maybe like how Ben John suggested, to focus, go back to focus. It's like a single word, but it encapsulates a whole lot of meaning to him, right? And I bet it does to you. And that's why it worked. So those statements encapsulate so much meaning to me, but they're in short, sweet little statements that make me feel my chin lifted, make me feel like I have access to a full breath, low, deep in my diaphragm, full exhalation. It's a cue. So it's not that the most important thing to think about when you're competing is I'm loved. That's not the point. The point is what it cues me toward, and it cues me toward the sensation, I'm comfortable, I belong here. This is what I've prepared for. This is not just this moment, it's the culmination of all my moments that I worked so hard for. And then when I feel the hard work, that's when I get like, I won't let this go, you know? So I need to feel that meaning in myself, and those little statements cue me to that encapsulated meaning.
That's amazing. And I love that your daughter kind of told the future by you telling you to tell us about your mantra. That's so perfect.
I can't wait to tell her that I shared it with you.
So on top of everything else that you've got going on, playing in the pro circuit and everything, you are also a pickleball instructor. Is that right?
Yes.
Tell us
at Moraga Country Club.
Yeah. Tell us more about it.
Having played tennis at St. Mary's College, Moraga feels like a home base to me. So it feels like kind of circling back home, teaching at Moraga Country Club. They have 6 brand new, beautiful courts right below their grill next to the bocce courts at night. It's like a party every night there. I don't teach at night, but I've seen it and I've heard it's every night. So it's a pretty great place to be. And the community there is lovely. In fact, my college tennis coach, Lisa Alapaz, is a member there. So she's a pro-level pickleball influence at that club as well. And it just really feels good to share enthusiasm. And my students usually say, oh, you never say anything critical. You're always saying everything positively. And that's kind of what I try to bring, is like, I will never criticize. I want everyone to feel really good and connect to the things they're doing right and then repeat them. So it's good vibes out there. It reconnects me to my, like, that beginner joy, you know, which I think is important, especially with all the hard work that pros are doing.
Well, the ironic thing about the beginner joy is we may have met when we were both beginning back in 2022, because we only live a few miles apart from each other. And I think we probably played together over at Rudger in Water Creek.
I'm pretty sure.
Oh my gosh, really?
I'm pretty sure we did. Because I recognized you immediately. And I thought, why do I recognize him? He's a social media star. Okay, maybe it's because of his podcast. And then I found out how close you live and I realized, no, we've met, I bet.
Yeah, I think we started playing because I think right around the time you started playing is when Bridgie introduced me to the game. And then we did that whole reality show and I was trying to get better for this reality show. So I was hanging out in Red Gear all the time, just trying to pick up, you know, and getting experience. And there's some good players out there. So it was really helpful. And I think you and I played together at that time.
I'm pretty sure. Yep. Yeah. Like I told you, I bet if I see what's your, maybe you don't like to tell everyone what your weapons are. But tell me like a good shot that you're really proud of, that you really like about your game.
Short lift.
What shot? Is it third shot? I'm wearing your shirt. Is it the third shot?
Yeah, third shot. No, it's taking shots. That's probably my weapon. Bridgie, what would you say? I mean, you played with me enough. What would you say? I don't know.
I think his are drives up the middle.
Okay.
He so can that's keep it thinking. Yeah, pretty low, and his aim down the middle is always like spot on.
So if I saw your drive down the middle, then I bet I would have like a flashback.
A flashback.
And remember a slang. That's when I really remember people, their shots.
Well, probably back in those days, I was trying to hit a drive down the middle and I hit the back fence. I was probably what you would remember is like, oh yeah, that's the guy that hit the ball over the fence a couple of times. He thought he could hit a drive down the middle. Yeah.
I bet we both did.
Yeah. But eventually, you know, you figure it out, you get better. And that's the beauty of this game is, right, you keep playing and you see those incremental improvements that keep you coming back for more and more and more because you got like, oh, I got it. I actually passed somebody. My drops are getting better. I'm positioning the ball better. So, it's probably a different game. But I think it's so cool that you have that memory where you can pick up little traits or little shots that people have and kind of remember those types of things. Like, that's pretty neat. Like, you have a photographic memory of shots.
Yeah, it's like a superpower.
Or something, right?
Or maybe it's like post-trauma when people like hit a really good shot at me.
Maybe so.
Who knows? Yeah, I definitely remember Jenna's speed up right in my chin. Oh.
Yeah, you would probably remember that. You would probably remember that.
I bet I'd remember your drive down the middle too. That's
great. You know, since you're teaching, right, is there a tip that or something that, you know, the 3-0 to 4-0 level player could, you know, think about when they're on the court, that's something that you've seen is fairly common that, you know, people can work on?
Yeah. There are several things, but one is standing out right now because I worked with a member at Moraga Country Club today on this. And it's that there's a misperception, which is valuable. I'm not saying it doesn't have value, that moving forward is the only goal. And the only direction we should be thinking we're moving in. That's so valuable. And when you see someone who hits and moves forward, you see a lot of potential, right? But I noticed that there are a lot of players in that 3-0 to 4-0 range that haven't yet opened their minds to the truth that in the transition zone, which is a place that we cannot avoid, for on the serving team, we're going to spend time in the transition zone, period. Stepping backward, stepping sideways is an incredibly valuable option, as well as charging forward. So we talk a lot about split step. We talk about aggressing forward. We talk about getting to the kitchen line. And those are all incredibly valuable parts of the curriculum from 3-0 to 4-0. But I notice how difficult it becomes for a lot of players to open their minds to the value of stepping backward. And that when I see a player who like curses under their breath if they hit a pop-up. Like I have a few students who curse under their breath every time they pop it up. And I know that feel, we all know that feeling, right? Like, oh, dang it. But the best defenders, like you think of Elise Jones, she's not cursing under her breath if she hits a pop-up. She's such a good defender that she's like, ha, I got this, you know?
Yeah.
So instead of cursing under our breath, take that step back or take that step sideways to widen your stance to be ready instead of cursing that the pop-up happened. I think today that's, if I choose one, that's what I'd share.
Thank you.
Noted. Yeah. Now maybe I can step up to like a 3-5.
Let's go.
Let's go. Here we go, Brittany.
Just working on my positioning and whatnot.
Yeah, there are a lot of players who probably the best defenders who move forward and back, forward and back. They feel fluidity. And I don't see any evidence in their affect, in their composure, that suggests that they're disappointed about having to do that. So I think that's a huge part of progressing. Yeah.
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 Well, thank you for sharing. Now, you know, we can take some notes. And, you know, I do think that you are an incredible instructor. You have so much passion, and I love that you voice the positivity behind it. But also, you're this incredible professional player and a mother. And so we were wondering, how do you balance a schedule? Because Uncle Greg's a family guy. I've got family over here, and it's a lot of balance, but how do you do it?
Well, I prioritize my daughter and my husband first. And I'm not saying that this is the healthy way to do it. So I'm not suggesting that this is the healthiest response to what I'm tackling, but I'm just saying it's what I've done. I've told my daughter, my pickleball career, all this traveling is in your hands. You can say stop at any moment. And I will stop. I don't want this to ever compromise how you feel I focus on you, and this is your turn in sports and in my support of your development. And interestingly enough, her response is, I love that you do it. I love that I know that you're powerful and that you try hard at stuff, and it's a good example for me and I get to brag about it. So, but I repeat it to her so that she knows she's my priority. And then I follow through. She is my priority. So her sports come first. I guess that's the first thing I'd say in answering. And my husband wanting me to play pickleball and wanting me to compete is the second thing I'd say. He wants me to so much that it's like as much as I want it. So if he didn't, I'm not sure I could do this. I don't know how people do it if their spouse isn't supportive.
Yeah.
In fact, if I come home and I say, so-and-so asked me to play in this, or I have an opportunity to do this, his response is typically, well, you got to do it. Every time.
So you are supported. That goes to show that your mantra is so true.
Wow, Bridgie, I love that you circled it back to that. I hadn't thought of that. Yeah,
totally. It's a mantra for a reason, right? I mean, it wouldn't be a mantra if you're just using it for just one part of your life. It's your life, right? And that's why, you know, it's so dear to you, and it has so much meaning for you. And that's what's so cool about it. And that's why it works for you.
Yeah.
So what's next? What's next on the horizon?
I want to get better. I want to compete better and perform better and get better results. So disciplining myself, as I mentioned earlier, that what I want to apply from pickleball or from bodybuilding to my pickleball game is my next step. Working smarter, not harder, basically. And I am a signed player with the NAPP Pro Tour in Canada. So I'm really excited about the season ahead. We're playing in a place I've never traveled to, Edmonton, Alberta. So cool. I'm really excited to play there and compete with that Pro Tour and stay on the grind.
Right, you have the U.S. Open coming here in America as well.
Yes, that's next, as in a blink away. Yeah. Absolutely. Yes, that's next week.
Yeah. You excited about that?
I am excited. Yeah. I was thinking today about, you know, I like to tell my partners what I'm putting forward in my effort in the next tournament. And so I was thinking today about how I was going to communicate with Jenna and Nick. Nick Wade is my mixed partner, about what I want to put forward into this tournament. It's definitely exciting.
So Nick Blade is your mixed doubles partner?
Wade.
Nicholas Wade. Nick Wade. All right. Well, I hope all of you do fantastic at the U.S. Open, and we must take our third shot your performance at the U.S. Open and in the tour up in Canada. So good luck. Cheers.
Cheers.
Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Oh, thank you as well. It's good to spend time with you.
Well, when we find a moment, I am going to find you up in Moraga, and we are gonna, you're gonna get to see that drive.
Let's go.
And you can show me all the tricks of the trade. I can't wait. It'll be so much fun.
I look forward to that. Let's do it.
All right.
And real quick, though, before we close off, for our listeners who may be wanting to follow along on your journey and your tournaments coming up, where can they find you on Instagram?
Yeah. Annie Titchener _ pickleball.
Very cool.
Yes.
I encourage everybody to go check out Annie, follow her on tour, follow her posts. It is a lot of fun talking to you. So thank you. And thank all of you for joining us on Third Shot, where Bridgie and I will continue to share our pickleball journeys. Special thanks to Annie for joining us today. Please check out her Instagram account. Again, it's Annie Titchener, spelled AnnieTiche. _ pickleball, and you can get all of her recent posts, and you can support this show by continuing to subscribe, and we promise to have more amazing guests just like Annie in future episodes. So let's continue to share our enjoyment for this wonderful game and grow the pickleball community. See you next time on Third Shot Podcast.